All right. Good morning. Morning, everyone. Today's daf is daf Lamed Zayin. We're back on Lamed Vav. We started the issue of brachas of tefillin. We're going to talk about brachas of tefillin today. We're going to talk about the order of tefillin today. The obligation to be a mamashmesh with tefillin. Okay, a lot of good stuff coming up today. We should be finishing up the third parak today. Likelihood is we will not be finishing up the third parak, but certainly I'd like to finish up the topic of tefillin. That'll take us to Lamed Zayin and Lamed Beis, and then we move on from there. Tomorrow, Yitzhak Hashem Shabbos HaGadol, we'll start the fourth parak of Menachos tomorrow, and we really move on to Tzitzis. Okay, and the next little bit of Gemara is going to be about Tzitzis. In the meantime,
Rabbi, tomorrow,
timing-wise, tomorrow we'll meet before Mincha. We'll meet an hour before Mincha, and okay, good. Brachos of Tefillin. So the Gemara said that there are two brachas to be said over Tefillin. When you put on the Tefillin Shal Yad, so you make a bracha of the Haneach Tefillin, and when you put on the Tefillin Shal Rosh, you make a bracha of a Mitzvah Tefillin. Then the Gemara says if you talk in between the two Tefillin, so you make one bracha, and if you did not talk between the two tefillin, let me do that again. Right, thank you. If you talk between the two tefillin, so then you make two brachas, and if you don't talk, so then you make one bracha. That's what the Gemara says at the top of Lamed Vav Amud Aleph. That's where we got to yesterday. And Vahashalach, we're two lines down from the top of the page. Vahashalach Rav Chia Bered Rav Huna Meshmed Rav Yochanan. Al Tefillin Shiyad Omer Baruch Asher Kishan Mitzvah Tzivan Al Haneach Tefillin. Al Tefillin Shal Rosh Omer Baruch Asher Kishan Mitzvah Tzivan Al Mitzvah Tefillin. So the Gemara concludes Abaye V'Rava Darmi Tavayu Lo Stach Mevarach Acha Stach Mevarach Shtayim. Okay, it depends whether you talk or you don't talk. As I mentioned yesterday and mentioned the end of yesterday's daf, Pshuto Shal Gemara. The simple pshat of the Gemara is that tefillin, when you put on the Shal Yad, the Shal Rosh, you make one bracha. The second bracha is only in a scenario in which you spoke between one and two. And then the Gemara quotes Tana with Antana Braisa, Sach ben Tefillah Tefillah. If you do converse between putting on your two pairs of tefillin, Aver hi biyado, it's an Aver, says the Gemara. V'choz olam yorchem l'chama, and you don't have zchuyos anymore, you don't have any merit anymore. And if you're at war and the Kohen HaMashuch gives everyone a warning, right, whoever feels like they don't have Kadosh Baruch Hu's protection can go home. So at that point in time, you can consider yourself one of those people if you speak between the two pairs of tefillin. Okay? Basic machlokus between Rashi and Rabbeinu Tam over here. Rashi says that the Gemara is to be understood kipshuto, meaning according to Rashi, you make one bracha on the Tefillin Shel Yad and the Tefillin Shel Rosh. That is the opinion of Rashi, and that really is a simple pshat of the Gemara over here. Who's on Rashi's side? The Rambam's on Rashi's side. The Vilna Gaon's on Rashi's side. Right? A number of people feel that one bracha is what you need to make when you put on your two pairs of Tefillin. Only if you speak between Tefillin 1 and Tefillin 2, the Shel Yad and the Shel Rosh, only then do you make that second bracha of Amitzvah Tefillin. That is the opinion of Rashi. Rabbeinu Tam disagrees. Rabbeinu Tam says, not the simple pshat of the Gemara, but Rabbeinu Tam says that when the Gemara is discussing conversing or not conversing, making a second bracha, that's all talking about the Tefillin Shel Rosh. Meaning that you, of course, make a Lahaniach Tefillin on the Shel Yad. Then, if you don't talk, you make a bracha of Amitzvah Tefillin Shel Rosh. If you do talk, so then when you put on the Tefillin Shel Rosh, you're going to make two brachas. One bracha of Lahaniach, because you're a mafsik between the Shel Yad and the Shel Rosh, and then another bracha of Amitzvah Tefillin. That is the opinion of Rabbeinu Tam. A corollary to this position of Rabbeinu Tam is that he feels that, look, the main bracha, if we could say that, the main bracha is the bracha of Amitzvah Tefillin, meaning that's not a just-in-case bracha. That's a main bracha. The main tefillin that we wear between the Shel Yad and the Shel Rosh is a Shel Rosh. So it makes sense. Rabbeinu Tam says it makes sense that the bracha of the mitzvah tefillin goes on the Shel Rosh, because the Shel Rosh is really the main mitzvah, if you will. Right? If we can rank the two tefillin, the Tefillin Shel Yad and Tefillin Shel Rosh, the Tefillin Shel Rosh is the main mitzvah. So it receives the main bracha. That is the opinion of Rabbeinu Tam. The Rosh, right, when he grew up, so he started by making only one bracha, but then later in life he changed his mind and he made two brachas. Minhag Ashkenaz, Mechaber, the Shulchan Aruch, as you would imagine, follows the Rambam's opinion. Sfardim, based on the Shulchan Aruch, make only one bracha on the Shel Yad and the Shel Rosh. The Ramah says that Ashkenazim make two brachas, like a Rabbeinu Tam. So again, another machlokus in a series of machlokus between Rashi and Rabbeinu Tam over tefillin in terms of how many brachas to make. The Ramah adds something which is a little bit strange, a little bit unusual, kind of hard to explain, and that is that after we make the Shel Rosh, we then say Baruch Shem Kavod Malchuso Le'olam Va'ed, which is usually what you declare after you say a bracha levatala. Now, it's one of those things in halacha which is it's just difficulty explaining. Meaning, why would we set ourselves up for making a bracha, which perhaps we shouldn't be saying, and then to cover our bases, we say Baruch Shem Kavod Malchuso Le'olam Va'ed. Okay, that in of itself is difficult. I don't have a neat way to package this. Okay.
Right.
It sounds like Rabbeinu Tam by himself is fine. Meaning he believes that the Gemara here is commanding us to make two brachas. And the only time the Gemara is talking about making a second bracha on one pair of tefillin is on the Shel Rosh, and that's if you spoke. Look, it's Rabbeinu Tam is very confident about his position in the Gemara. It's we Ashkenazim who are like hedging a little bit, like we kind of cover our bases. But the Rabbeinu Tam feels very strongly. Rashi said one bracha. Yeah, that's the Vilna Gaon. The Gaon said one bracha. But if we really right, but again, I don't have a neat way of explaining it, because if we really felt suffic bracha sahakel, so we'd only be making one bracha. So, okay, back to the Gemara. Tana kishu meniach meniach shal yad v'acher kach meniach shal rosh. Okay, the order. I have two pair. I have a pair of tefillin. I have a shal yad shal rosh. Which gets put on first? Shal yad gets put on before the shal rosh. Hu kishu cholait, and when you take it off, cholit shal rosh v'acher kach cholit shal yad. So the Gemara says, now how do you understand this? Bishlam kishu meniach meniach shal yad v'acher kach meniach shal rosh. Dichsivu kshatam al seyadecha v'hadavai yulotatafos meninecha. So the placement on, that's easy, because that's a pasuk. The pasuk gives us the very specific order of first placing the arm and then putting on the shel rosh. Ela kushu cholet cholet shel rosh ve'achaka cholet shel yad minalan. But how about taking them off? How do I know that there's a specific order for that? So the Gemara says, Amarav huna asbir li amakra v'ayu l'totafos bein einecha. And the totafos are going to be between your eyes. Now, we've already discussed how totafos is in plural. I know, sometimes with a vav, sometimes without a vav, but it's in plural. Kol zman shebein einecha yehu shtayim. They will be v'hayu, and they will be, meaning that as long as you have the bein einecha, the shel rosh tefillin, v'hayu, you're going to have the shel yad. But once you don't have the shel rosh, you shouldn't have the sorry. So that means that when the shel rosh is on your head, they should be a tandem. If you took off the shel yad but the shel rosh is on your head, then you don't have them as a tandem. So that's why when you remove, you first remove the shel rosh and then you remove the shel yad. Okay. Tana rabbanan me'emasai mevarech aleihem. Okay. Good. From this point forward, now we're going to be discussing time of day, meaning when can I put on tefillin and when do I have to take them off? And basically, the next almost amud of Gemara is going to be dedicated to the topic of wearing tefillin at night. Are you allowed to wear tefillin at night? Yes or no? So. Right, the correct answer is machlokas. Right, that's really the correct answer. But was we're going to see throughout the Gemara, it's right. We normally assume no, you can't wear your tefillin at night. Right, we wake up early in the morning to daven. Sometimes the minyanim here start davening without wearing tefillin because it's simply not. There's no speck of day, and so. But why not? Meaning it's nighttime. So what? So why not wear tefillin? So that's what we're going to be discussing. We're going to be discussing correct time to put on tefillin. Before we discuss that, just in general, everyone should know, right, that in terms of during the daytime, right, let's start with the daytime, because that's easy. Everyone agrees during the day is a mitzvah to wear tefillin. During the daytime, at what point during the day should you wear tefillin? So, maker a din, really the whole day, meaning there's no one specific time during the day that you should be wearing tefillin. You should be wearing tefillin all day. Rebbe, as in Rebbe Yehuda Anasi, used to wear tefillin all day, right, when he got sick. So every now and then he had to take it off because he was ill and he had to go to the bathroom, but primarily he would wear it all day. Tanaim and Amoraim seemingly wore their tefillin all day. They say of Rashi as he got older, he used to wear tefillin all day long as well. Why don't we wear tefillin all day? The problem is, as we're going to learn later on this morning, that when you wear tefillin, so you have to be cognizant of the tefillin. You can't forget the tefillin. The Rambam writes in very clear terms that you cannot have any type of frivolous discussion when you're wearing your tefillin. You certainly can't have a hurim when you're wearing tefillin. Right? You can't be mefiach when you're wearing tefillin. There are certain things you can't be doing when you're wearing tefillin. It's very difficult. So therefore, we limit the amount of time that wearing tefillin. We figure that for shacharis in the morning, we could pretty much concentrate and keep our attention to the tefillin, although even that's a struggle. But really, me'ikar adin, the tefillin should be worn all day. So, from what point now in the morning can you start wearing your tefillin? Tana Rabbanan. So let's say you're traveling on a trip and you leave really early in the morning, it's not even light yet, and you don't want to just carry them because you're afraid if you carry them I'll drop them, I'll lose them, I'll forget them. I'd like to wear them even though it's not the time to wear them. So the Braisa says you could do it. So you put the tefillin on. Now, when the right time comes, we'll talk about that right time in just a moment. So you kind of shift them a little bit, and you make a bracha on the tefillin. Okay, so that, I'm sorry. So before we go move on to the next part of the brisa, okay. So part one of the brisa is that if you had to wake up really early in the morning, you had to go on a trip, so you could put them on. Don't make a bracha because it's not yet the zman tefillin. You're not yet being mekayim the mitzvah. You're just simply protecting them and guarding them. You're not wearing them. I know that sounds like semantics, but and you don't make a bracha. And then when the zman comes, when the right time comes, so then you make a bracha. Now the brayso over here does not talk about what the right time in the morning is to make the bracha of its filling. Rashi over here quotes the Gemara in Brachos. The Gemara in Brachos, Daf Tesam and Beis, Rashi quotes, "Bikriyas Shmacherim Omrim Mishiyur Chaver Meirach Dalaramos V'Amin Hasam LeTfilin KaAcherim Klamar LaNachas Tfilin KaAcherim." So the right time to make the bracha over tefillin is mishiyakir. When I recognize a friend at 4 amos, at a distance of 4 amos, when there's that much light, so that at that point in time, I could say shema and I put on tefillin as well. We generally assume it's about 45 minutes before sunrise, okay, approximately. On your luach, on your calendars, you'll see. It's pretty much consistently 45 minutes before sunrise. Okay, it's after alos, meaning dawn is approximately an hour and 12 minutes before sunrise, so about a half an hour after dawn, 45 minutes before sunrise. Okay, good. So that's when you start. Interesting, by the way, we generally speaking, right, different shuls have different minhagim, meaning what happens when the shul davens really early in the morning. So what some shuls do is they'll start davening, they'll wait till the zman of mishiyakir, and then they'll put on tefillin, right? Usually they'll coordinate it so that it coordinates with Ishtabach. And then they'll put on tefillin, and then they'll continue davening from there. That's what some shuls do. Some shuls do is that they actually put on tefillin at the beginning of davening, don't make a bracha, and then when the zman comes, they're going to be mimashmish b'tefillin, they'll shift it and they'll make a bracha. Okay? From our Gemara, it seems that way, but our Gemara is not much of a raya, because you could just simply say that our Gemara is dealing with a scenario where he's traveling, and that's what gives him the permission, the right, so to say, of putting it on, even though it's not yet the zman. Now, you can wear your tefillin all day until Shkias Hacham, until sunset. So, Rabbi Yaakov, Rabbi Yaakov says, no, when there's no longer any traffic in the marketplace. Now, you should be familiar with that term of the Gemara, because that term of the Gemara comes up by Chanukah, and lighting Chanukah light. Right, that is after it gets dark. Clearly, it's after it gets dark. That time period. So, according to Rav Yaakov, you can wear your tefillin into the night, until there's no longer people on the street. Now, it's a funny shear by tefillin, meaning that's after it gets dark. Well, what does that mean then? Does that mean that he holds that nighttime is the right time to wear tefillin? Does he hold that it's a carryover from the day? Okay, it's that requires more understanding. And the Chachamim say you could wear it all night until you go to bed. Right? You can't sleep with your tefillin. The problem with sleeping with your tefillin is you shema yafiach. Right? You may have some pass gas while wearing tefillin, and that's obviously a bizayin to the tefillin. So you can wear them into the night, achein, until you go to sleep. Umodim chacham l'Rabbi Yaakov shim chaltam l'tzitz l'beis akisei oli kanis l'beis amerikas v'shaka chamashuv ein chozer u'manicham. Now, the Gemara says that the chachamim do concede to Rabbi Yaakov in that if you took off tefillin at night or any time after Shkiat HaChama, you can't put them back on. Okay? So even though you could wear your tefillin as a carryover from the day, but to put them on lichatchila at night, that you can't do. Okay? Again, that also requires an understanding. If the Chachamim hold that nighttime is Zman tefillin, so then why wouldn't you be able to put them on at night as well? Okay. I'm Rav Nachman, halachic Rav Yaakov. So Rav Nachman says that the halach is like Rav Yaakov. So Rav Yaakov, if you remember, he takes the middle position of Achi Chala Regam and Ashok. You can wear tefillin until there's no longer any traffic in the marketplace, meaning you can wear it into the night. Rav Chisda Rabba Rav Huna Matzabu Beorta. Rav Chisda and Rabba Rav Huna, they would daven Mariv with tefillin on. Daven Mariv with tefillin on. They hold like Rabbi Yaakov. Good. Ike da Amri. Now, the second version of this discussion is Ein halacha to Rabbi Yaakov. The halacha does not fall like Rabbi Yaakov, which means that at Shkias HaChama you have to remove your tefillin. Okay, so if at Shkias HaChama you have to remove your tefillin, so what about the story reported to us about Rav Chisda and Rabba Rav Huna? Top of the next Amud. Veha Rav Chisda Verava Rav Huna Matzle Behu Baorta. They daven marv with their tefillin. So the Gemara says very simply, they argue, right, in Achinami. They don't agree with the Gemara's conclusion, and they feel that you can wear the tefillin into the night. Umi amar Rabba Rav Huna, achiv amar Rabba Rav Huna, safik chashecha, safik lo chashecha, lo choletz velo meniach, havada chashecha choletz. So the Gemara says, yeah, but Rabba Rav Huna, the Amor who we just reported said, Daven Mariv with a tefillin on, he also makes another statement, which is that once it's nighttime, you must remove your tefillin. The Beina Shmashos period, that you can leave your tefillin on. But once it gets to nighttime, you must remove your tefillin. So I don't understand, I'm kind of stuck. Right? How do I coordinate the two statements of Rabbi Rav Huna? On one hand, he daven Mariv with his tefillin, and he didn't daven an early Mariv, not like we do. Right? He davened a late Mariv. He davened Mariv with his tefillin. And at the same time, he makes another statement that says that once it's night, you got to take off your tefillin. How do you coordinate those two positions? And the Gemara says, Hasam be'erev Shabbos itmar. No, that statement of taking off your tefillin, that means that it was Erev Shabbos. Meaning on Erev Shabbos, meaning as it's getting to Shabbos, so Beina Shmashos, you can leave your tefillin on. But once you're past the Beina Shmashos period, once you're at nighttime, Friday night, Shabbos, you must remove your tefillin. Okay. And this takes us now to the main part of this discussion. Right? Really, we've kind of been touching the topic, but now the Gemara is going to take on the topic head on. When is there a mitzvah to wear tefillin? During the day? At night? Right? During the day, everyone agrees. Let's start there. Nighttime, is there a mitzvah to wear tefillin? And a corollary to that discussion is, what about Shabbos? Can I wear tefillin on Shabbos as well? So this is really now the heart of the whole issue. And what the Gemara now is reporting to us is the following. That Rava Bar Rav Huna, on a regular weeknight, wears tefillin. Davids Marv with his tefillin. Right? Fundamentally, at least according to the first version of the Gemara, agrees with the Rav Yaakov that as long as you put the tefillin on during the day, you could wear it into the night, until people are left the market, which is well into the night. Okay? So that is one position of Rabba Bar Rav Huna. On the other hand, he says when it comes to Shabbos, and Shabbos is coming, you got to take off your tefillin. You can't wear your tefillin on Shabbos. So the Gemara says now, to put all this together, to wrap all this up, is going to be difficult. Because what Rabbi Rav Huna is saying is that nighttime is okay, but Shabbos is not okay. So the Gemara says this is going to be difficult.
I think the Gemara yet that if you see it in a Shabbat, you put it on and carry it that way.
Correct, the Gemara in Erevin, right? Tenth parak of Erevin.
So you can't put it on Shabbat anymore.
But, as we'll see in just a moment, putting it on just to protect it may be different. May be different. Okay, wait for that. It's coming up in the Gemara. So my kasavar. So the Gemara says, how do you understand Rav Abba Rav Huna? Ika savar laila zman tefillin, Shabbos nami zman tefillin. Ika savar Shabbos lav zman tefillin, laila nami lav zman tefillin. De mehecha de memate Shabbos, mehasam memate leilos. There is a direct correlation between Shabbos and nighttime. If Shabbos is correct, nighttime is correct. If Shabbos is incorrect, meaning inappropriate time for tefillin, nighttime is inappropriate. How do I know this? The Tanya will enter the Brisa. Vishamarta tzuchukazos lamoadami yamim yamima. The pasuk at the end of Parshas Bo describes that you're going to be shomer, you're going to guard this chok, this law. Now, when it says this chok, it's talking about, it just got done giving us the mitzvah of tefillin, as it also just got done giving us the mitzvah of Karban Pesach. Vishamarta tzuchukah azos lamoada mi yamim yamima. So we have two words over here. We have mi yamim and yamima. So number one, yamim velo leilos. So yamim means daytime. Daytime and not nighttime. And we're assuming right now that this is talking about tefillin. Mi yamim, and not even every day. Some days, but not every day. Good. According to Rav Yossi Aglili, you don't wear tefillin at night, you don't wear tefillin on Shabbos. They both are exclusions that come from this very pasuk of miyamim yamima. That is the opinion of Rav Yossi Aglili. So now you see where the problem is. According to Rav Yossi Aglili, nighttime and Shabbos are both not zman tefillin. So according to Rav Abba Rav Huna, if he's not wearing his tefillin on Shabbos, he shouldn't be wearing his tefillin at night as well. Okay, that's going to be the problem. First, we'll finish the brisa, and then we'll come back to address this issue. Rabbi Akiva omer lo ne'emar chukah ze'el ala Pesach bilvad. Rabbi Akiva says, no. The end of Parshas Bo, when it says, v'shamartas chukah zos miyamim liyam, v'shamartas chukah zos lamoada miyamim liyamimah, that's only talking about Karban Pesach. That's not talking about tefillin. In fact, it's pretty meduic in the Pesukim that Rabbi Kiva's right, because it says, Veshamatas chukah zos limo'ada. Talking about moed. We're talking about moed, you're talking about Pesach. You're not talking about every day. Right? Moed are specified times. So Rabbi Kiva says that this pasuk is talking about Karban Pesach. It's not talking about tefillin.
Is it
about
moed also sometimes?
No. Rosh Chodesh is sometimes referred to as Moed, but Shabbos is generally, right, the Moados is referred to specific times. So good. So that's Shitas Rabbi Akiva. Now, so that means, according to Rabbi Akiva, that you can wear your tefillin at night, but it also means that according to Rabbi Akiva, you can wear it on Shabbos as well, at this point of the Gemara. So, the Gemara says, Rabbi Akiva, v'lo kol yamim pral Shabbos v'yamim tov. Divrei Rabbi Yose Glili, I'm sorry, Rabbi Akiva Amar, lo nemar chukazot ela Pesach bovad. Okay, so now the question really is all on Rava bar Rav Huna. How can he wear his tefillin at night and not wear them on Shabbos? How do you separate the two? So the Gemara's answer is, nafkale mehecha de nafkale le Rabbi Akiva. So the Gemara says, look, Rava bar Rav Huna principally agrees with Rabbi Akiva. But what we don't know until we're about to see this next brisa is that Rabbi Akiva splits nighttime and Shabbos. Rabbi Akiva says night is not Zman Tefillin. Do that again. Night is Zman Tefillin, but Shabbos is not Zman Tefillin. D'tanya, and how do I know that? Rabbi Akiva Omer Yachol Yaneach Adam Tefillin B'Shabbos V'Yamim Tovim. I might have thought as a Hava Mina that a person can put on his tefillin on Shabbos and Yantov. Tamal Omer V'Ayala Os Ayadcha L'Tatafos Bein Enecha. Mi Shetzrichem Os Yatzu Shabbos V'Yamim Tovim Shehein Gufan Os. Shabbos and Yantov is an Os, right? It already is an Os. Ki Os He says a pasuk in Parshas Vayakel. So, by Shabbos is an os. Shabbos is an os. Moed is an os. They are signs between us and the Kadosh Baruch Hu. So, therefore, it's not the appropriate time to wear tefillin. And Chol HaMoed, Tosfos discusses major debate. Okay, you know the end of that discussion. Machlokas. Eretz Yisrael, no one wears tefillin in Chol HaMoed and Eretz Yisrael here in America. We still continue some of the minhagim of Europe. Some Jews in Europe did, some Jews in Europe didn't. Sfarim do not, right? But in Eretz Yisrael, nobody wears. The reason why in Eretz Yisrael no one wears tefillin? because they all, the Ashkenazim and Eretz Yisrael, for the most part, follow the Vilna Gaon. And the Vilna Gaon did not put on tefillin, and Chol HaMoed, Ashkenazim don't. Okay, anyway. The Rabbi Akiva says that Shabbos is an oath. Tefillin is not worn on Shabbos because tefillin is an oath, and you don't need the oath of tefillin on Shabbos. That's the opinion of Rabbi Akiva. So that means it comes out now that according to Rabbi Akiva, Shabbos is not Zman Tefillin. Nighttime is Zman Tefillin. Perfect. So now we have Rabba Barav Huna, who davened at night with his tefillin. He davened Marv at night with his tefillin. He follows Shita's Rabbi Akiva. It's the same Rabba Barav Huna who, when it comes time for Shabbos, says you got to take off your tefillin. You can't wear your tefillin on Shabbos. Aye, but nighttime you can. Correct. Nighttime I can, because I follow like Rabbi Akiva. Nighttime is Zman Tefillin. Shabbos is not Zman Tefillin. Okay. Perfect.
It's not as though these people put their tefillin. They had it on all day long, probably, right?
Correct. Correct.
It wasn't that you put on the month.
Correct. Absolutely correct. Shem Gufa knows. Amar Rav Elazar. Kol HaMinich Tefillin Achra Shkias HaChama Over Ba'aseh. Rav Elazar says if you put your tefillin on after Shkias HaChama, you violate a mitzvah aseh, a positive commandment. Right, the pasuk says v'shamarta zechukah hazos lamoadam yamim yamima. It seems that Rav Elazar takes Rav Yosi Aglili's position. It seems that way. Rav Yochanan Amar over b'lav, you violate a lav. Now, is it an asay or is it a lav when you put on your tefillin at night? Did you violate an asay? Now, the violation of an asay doesn't come up that often, where you get to violate an asay. Usually, you fulfill a mitzvah asay. It's not often that you violate an asay. But over here, it's really a lav haba mechlal asay. Right? The Torah is telling us that you have to put on tefillin during the day. Oh. Day and not night. Meaning the positive commandment precludes the night. So when I put on tefillin at night, I'm violating an asay. That is the opinion of Rav Elazar. Rav Yochanan says no. It's more than asay. It's a lav. It's a negative prohibition. Now, lema, what's the machlokas over here? So the Gemara would like to suggest, Rabbi Avinam, Rabbi Eli, Kamiflugidam, Rabbi Avinam, Rabbi Eli, Komakav Shenema, Hishamer, Pen, Va'al. Now, when the Torah wants to tell you a lav, usually the Torah says lo. Lo sin af, lo sach mod, right? Lo sir tzach. Usually it's a lo. But Rabbi Avin teaches us that it could also be Hishamer, it could also be Pen, it could also be Al. Those are also words that indicate it's a lav. Eino ala lo sase. So the Gemara Yisleid the Rabbi Avin, Amar Leisleid the Rabbi Avin. So the Gemara suggests that this chiddush of Rabbi Avin is subject to a debate. The Gemara says lo. The kule ama Yisleid the Rabbi Avin, Amar Rabbi Eli. Everybody agrees to the chiddush of Rabbi Avin that these words of Hishamar, Hishamer, and Pen and Al all indicate a lav. Good. So that's not the machlokus. So what is the machlokus? Marsav Hishamer the lav lav. It's a question of context. When the Torah says the words Hishamer, and contextually it's talking about something not to do, it's a lav. If the Torah says Hishamer, and contextually it's telling you something to do, it's an asay. I'll give you an example. Right? I'll give you Rashi's example. Hishamer b'negat saras. Right? If you have saras on your body, the Torah says, don't cut it off. Meaning, you show it to the Kohen, you're not allowed to cut it off. That's a lav. That's a negative prohibition. There, contextually, the Torah is telling you, don't do it. Don't touch the tzaras, don't scratch it, don't cut it off. Leave it on, show it to the Kohen. That's a lav. Here, the Torah says, right, v'shamarta ezechukah azos lamo'odam yamima. Contextually, what's the Torah telling you? To do or not to do? Contextually, the Torah is telling you, to do, you put on tefillin, right? Let's assume like Rabbi Yosi Aglili. You put on tefillin lamo adam yamim yamima, and you put it on daily. So the context of hishamer over here is a positive commandment. That's Rav Elazar, and that's why Rav Elazar says that if you put tefillin on at night, you violate an asay, a positive commandment. And Rav Yochanan will say no. Hishamer objectively is a negative prohibition. I don't care about the context. The word Hishamer always speaks about a negative prohibition, and that is the opinion of Rav Yochanan. Amar Rabbi Elazar, another halacha. V'im l'shamram mutar. Okay. Now, so our conclusion for the day is going to be that Laila is not Zman Tefillin, that you don't put Tefillin on at night. And even if you hold that Laila is Zman Tefillin, there is an argument to say, it sounds that way from the Amud Aleph of this morning, that even then you shouldn't lechatchila put Tefillin on at night. But let's say you want to travel, and let's say you don't want to wear the Tefillin, you just want to protect them. But some of the best ways to protect it is to wear it. So Rabbi Elazar says, im l'shamram mutter. If you're just putting it on to protect it, you could put it on at night. The Amar Ravina Hava Yasvina Kamei de Rav Ashi. Right. That becomes part of the discussion. Hava Yasvina Kamei de Rav Ashi. Ravina reports that I was singing in front of Rav Ashi, v'chashach, and it got dark, v'hiniach tefillin, and he put tefillin on at night. The Amri lay. So now, we said to him, Rabbi, please explain to us, why are you putting tefillin on at night? So we said to him, oh, we know why you're putting tefillin on at night. L'shamram kabay lehumar. Oh, because you want to protect them. The Amr li in, and he said to me, I guess. Right? And I saw, now, right, I did a good job with the tone over there. Yeah. Right? We saw that really wasn't, that wasn't his explanation. Right? The chazisa ledate delav l'shamram hubayim. So, and now we understood from Rav Ashi, that wasn't the real reason why, meaning he agreed with Rabbi Akiva. I mean, think about it, right? If you think about it, it makes sense. What comes out now is, can I wear tefillin at night? The answer is, it's a machlokas, but to flesh out that answer a little bit better, it's a machlokas between Rabbi Akiva and Rabbi Yossi Aglili. So now, on this front, usually it's Rabbi Akiva mechavero, meaning when Rabbi Akiva has a machlokas with some other Tana, and it's just one-on-one, we usually side with Rabbi Akiva. So essentially what Rav Ashi is saying is, I go like Rabbi Akiva. Laila is Zman Tefillin. Okay, I'm not going to broadcast that information, but that's really, so the Gemara says, Kasavar halacha, the ein morin kein. That really Rav Ashi believes the halacha is that nighttime is Zman Tefillin. And really Rabbi Akiva is correct, but I don't broadcast that information. Okay? So where do we end off on the discussion of nighttime wearing tefillin? We do know it's a machlokas between Rabbi Akiva and Rabbi Yossi Aglili. We do know that there are Amorayim who daven marv with tefillin. We just learned that Rav Ashi would wear his tefillin, not just wear his tefillin, put his tefillin on at night in accordance with the opinion of Rabbi Akiva, and I don't know. Meaning?
In the Haggadah, isn't it Rabbi Yossi Aglili says, Yom means a night also for Shema, and he says, let me discuss it. Isn't it him?
I don't remember. I don't think so. I don't think it was Rav Yossi Aglili. He comes up, but okay. I assume. The Gemara does not say, but I assume when he feels it's a mitzvah, so.
No, we only say bracha whenever there's interruption. Like if somebody goes to the bathroom and comes back, they have to say the bracha again. No.
If he had a real subject to debate, sorry. At that point, it's not halacha. The halacha is not clear. If he had intent to come back and put it on again, okay. Amar Rava bar Rav Huna chayv adam mamashmish v'tefillin bechol sha'ah. You should be cognizant of your tefillin at all time. You should actually adjust your tefillin, right? Adjust your tefillin. It says bechol sha'ah, right? That doesn't mean every hour on the hour. It means on a constant basis. You should go back and keep adjusting and shifting your tefillin. Kavachomer mitzitz. Look, it's a kavachomer matzitz shein bo ela az kara achas. The tzitz only has one name of Hashem on it. On the tzitz, it says Kodesh LaHashem. So it only has one azkara, one name of Hashem. Amar Torah v'ayam mitzchot tamid. And the Torah says it has to be on your forehead forever. Tamid. What does that mean, tamid? Right? The Kohen's not going to bed with its tzitz. It means that while on his head, he has to be cognizant of it. Shelo tasiach zato mimenu. So tefillin, sheyesh behem azkaros harbeh. Now tefillin, how many times is Hashem's name written on tefillin? By the way, anyone know the answer? 21.
Inside and in the
parashiyos? Yeah, on the parashiyos. 21.
In addition to Shakai?
Yeah, right. I mean, in other words, the Shakai is another Shem Hashem, but the name of Hashem is written in the tefillin.
That includes
so,
as well
Right, so the Hedy just asked me. No, it's fine. It's fine. I'm not sure. So the no, it's 21 names of Hashem in the Tefillin. Rambam, right? The Rambam gave me that number. Each one. Each one has 21. So Sheish Bemazkaros Arbe Al Achas Kama Vekama. So if by the tzitz I have to be totally cognizant of the of the tzitz, I have to be totally cognizant of the tzitz. V'hayam mitzchot tamid. So tefillin that has more than one name of Hashem, 21 in each. So achas kama v'kama. That's a kal v'chomer if you've ever heard one.
Do we know why
21? Certain things. Certain things I can't reveal. I can't reveal sometimes because, you know, they're secrets, and most of the time because I simply don't know. The I don't know. Tanu Rabbanan. Okay, which arm? Again, we all know the answer, but the Gemara over here, this is the basis for the halacha. Tanu Rabban Yad Chazu small. Okay, it's got to go on the left arm. The tefillin shaliyad, obviously, we're talking about. The yadcha is small. Ata omer is small. Oeno ela yamin. So, tom alamar. So, now what we're going to do is as follows. It's so funny. We in the beginning of Menachos, and back in Zvachim, we kept saying how the default arm is always the right. Right? Etzba by itself means right. And etzba plus kohen, according to everybody, even according to Rabbi Shimon, it means right. And, huh? That was the finger. Now, when it comes to the arm, it's so interesting how the default arm is going to be the left. Now, that's going to be another argument the Gemara is going to propose. But right now, before that, it's basically the next three psukim that we're going to quote are all going to speak to the idea that your default arm is your left arm. Okay, not your dominant arm, obviously, but in psukim, it's going to be your default. So, ain ol yamin tamalamer af yadi yasda aretz. My hand set the ground. Kadosh Baruch Hu, obviously, v'yamini, and my right tapcha shamayim, laid the heavens. Va'omer, I'll give you another pasuk. Yadal yaseid yael. She took her hand in order to get the peg to shachena v'yamina lihilamos amelim. And she, with the right, she got the hammer, the mallet. Okay, v'omer, and another pasuk, lama tashuv yadcha v'mincha mikariv chekecha kalei. So you withdraw your hand and your right. So you see time and again how the default yad is the left.
There's the part who says,
okay, so that's one argument. Rav Yossi Acharim Omer Matzino Yemim Shenikra Yad. Rav Yossi Acharim says, well, I totally disagree. We find that the right hand is just by itself called the Yad Shenamar. Vayar Yosef Ki Yashid Aviv Yad Yemino. Yosef, when he takes his right hand, the Torah describes as Yad Yemino. So you see that Yad is right. The counter argument is so simple. The Idach Yad Yemino Ikre Yad Stamalo Ikre. In fact, if anything, that pasuk proves otherwise. Because it doesn't just simply say Yad. It says Yad Yimino. Had it said Yad just by itself, it would have defaulted to the left. Just an interesting side note on this Gemara. Rav Yossi over here is called Rav Yossi HaChorim. Right? You knew I was going to mention this. So Rav Yossi HaChorim. So what is that? Rav Yossi HaChorim. So Rashi over here writes, Chotmo Meshuka, that he had a feature in that his nose was sunk into his face. His nose was sunk into his face, and so therefore he was given the nickname of Rav Yossi HaChorim. Okay. It sounds a little bit weird, doesn't it? That you have someone who has a facial feature which is a little bit strange, a little bit awkward, and then he goes around with that nickname. Nicknames, you're not allowed to give somebody a nickname. Right? There's something in the Torah called Ona, Onas Devarim, that you're not allowed to verbally abuse or assault anybody, and included in that is giving somebody a nickname. Gemara speaks very strongly about giving nicknames, and Tosfos says about Rashi, I don't understand. Look at the top Tosfos on the page. Pesh Bekuntras Chot Ma Yashakua Kein Charum De Bechors V'Tema, and Tosfos says I don't understand. Who Tema Hu Lama Shekinuhu Belashon Genai? Like they're going to go around, everyone's going to call him that nickname. Now, by the way, in defense of Rashi, In defense of Rashi, you know Rav Yehoshua was called Rav Yehoshua ben Karcha. Right? Rav Yehoshua, the son of Karcha. Karcha is a reference to Rabbi Akiva. And he was called Karcha because he was bald. Okay, now, right?
Who was bald?
Rabbi Akiva.
God only created a few perfect heads and so, covered with hair.
Correct. That's correct. So in other words, a facial feature, a feature of the head may not be a ganai. Yes, no, right? But Tosa says, I don't understand Rashi. El Hashem Akomunikra Kanan, and Tosa says that the Chorim is the place where he came from. Okay, anyway, just an interesting little side discussion in the Gemara over here about giving somebody a nickname. Yes?
On the previous page, when you talked about the left and right, it seems like all those pasukim were supporting the right hand.
The word yad by itself is a left. Meaning in all those pasukim, if you go back and go over those pasukim again, in other words, every time it said yad, it was referring to the left, and then it brings in the right hand. Right? 1, 2, and 3. All three pasukim speak to that idea. So when the Torah says, Vayilototafos ayadcha, and it just says the word yad, it defaults to the left. Okay, that's the Gemara's first argument. Then the Gemara gives a different argument. Rabbi Nassan Omer Eino Tzarech. We're now on Lamed Zayin Amad Aleph, and we are four lines down. Harei Omer Ukshartem Ukhseftem. Maksiva Biyaminav Kshir Biyamin. Look, you write with your right hand. Now, as we all of course know, there is something called the lefty. There are people who are predominant with the left hand. But the majority of people are right-handed. So just like Siva is done with the right hand, Afkshira is also the binding is also done with the right hand as well. Well, if you're going to put your own tefillin on, and you're binding it with your right hand, obviously it's got to go, the tefillin shal yad has to go on the left hand. The kev and the kshir b'yamin, anacha b'smalhi. Okay. V'rabi yosi. Hacharim hanacha de b'smol manale. So how do I know that hanacha is on the left? So because again, according to Rav Yosi, hacharim, he doesn't like the yad being default left-handed. So the Gemara says nafkale meicha nafkale leRabbi Nassan. Gemara says it's such an obvious point. The Gemara says that the Rav Yosi hacharim obviously is going to agree with Rav Nassan. The connection between ksiva and kshira. Rav Asi Amar Miyadcha. Rav Asi gives a different drasha. Rav Asi says it comes from the word Yadcha. Yadcha with the hey at the end. Ksiv behe keha. Keha means your weaker hand, your diminutive hand. So Amale Rabbi Abba Rav Asi Ve'ema Yadcha Shebekawach. Amale Miksiv beches. No. If it meant your dominant hand, your strong hand, it would have said Yadcha with a ches. So, but it says yadcha with a hey at the end. Hey is keha, it's weaker. Kitanai, this is subject to a machlokas tanayim. Yadcha behei zu small. Achem omim yadcha l'rabos esagidem. Yadcha comes to include someone who has a amputated arm, meaning not a fully amputated arm, but if part of his arm is severed and he has a stump, he should still put his phone on the stump. Tanya idach ein lo zro patur min tefillin. If you don't have an arm altogether, you're excused from putting on tefillin. Achem omer yadcha l'rabos es ha-gideim. According to Acherim, if you are gideim, which means that you have a stump, so you put your tefillin on your stump. What about a left-handed person? Tana rabbanan iter miniach tefillin biyamino shu smolo. So if you are an iter, if you are a left-handed individual, you put your tefillin on your right arm, which is your left, so to say. Left, the concept of left is the concept of your dominant versus your weaker arm. The Gemara quotes a Brisa. The Brisa says that even a left-handed individual puts it on his left arm, and the Gemara answers very simply, Amar Abayi ki tanyahi b'sholei b'shtei yadav. That Brisa is talking about someone who's ambidextrous. Someone who has equal usage over his hands, he puts it on his left arm. But someone who really principally uses his left arm is his dominant arm, so then Yadkeah will tell us that he puts it on his right arm. What if he writes with his left but does everything else with his right arm? So Tosos says, I don't know. Right? The Tosos, third Tosos on the page. right? B'samim chaminin di itar meniach tefillin biyamino shi smala. V'hashta adam akosev biyamino. Sorry, the question Tosfos deals with is the other one. He writes with his right arm. V'shar rov ma'asav b'smala. And he does most everything else with his left arm. He bats lefty, all the important things in life. So yeshli histapek be'ezem mehem miniach tefillin. So it's the Tosfos says, I'm not sure. Meaning, is the ksiva kshartim relationship the real mechayiv? Is that what obligates you to put it on your left versus your right? Or is it a question of dominance? V'shema yeshlid mosu kishalab b'shtei yadav. Maybe that's ambidextrous, but that's not really ambidextrous. Real ambidextrous means both hands are equal. So Tosfos is not as unclear about that. And again, ask your local rav. Tana, debei menashya. And finally, the last discussion we're going to have is where exactly do I put the tefillin? Okay? And this is the last discussion we're going to have regarding tefillin. And that will end the discussion of tefillin. Now, we all principally know the answer, meaning that the tefillin shel yad go on the arm, on the bicep, and the tefillin shel rosh go on the head, but not on the forehead, but on the top of the head where the hair either is or was. Going back to our discussion of kereach. It's not clear from the Pesukim. Yeah, either point is not clear from the Pesukim. In other words, the Pesukim indicate just the opposite. That the Torah says that when you put on your tefillin shel yad, it says al yadecha. Yad usually is your hand. And when it says the tefillin shel rosh, it's bein einecha, between your eyes. Okay, so how do I get to the place of putting on the bicep, and how do I get to the place of putting it on the top of the head and not between your eyes? So that is the rest of today's daf. Tana de Bei Menashe al Yad Chazu Kiboris. Kiboris is your bicep. Bein Enecha Zu Kad Kod. Kad Kod means your skull, right? The top of your head. Heche Amri de Bei Rav Yanai Makam Shemochel Shel Tinok Ro Face. So, I'm sorry, Hecha. Sorry. Where exactly on your head? So, where on the baby's head, the baby's skull is soft. Bamine plimo me rebi mishlo shnei roshim beiza mehem miniach tefillin. So let's say you had a two-headed baby. Right. Okay. Oh, we've seen, by the way, you're Siamese twins who are right. We've seen it. So a baby with two heads. So what is the din? How many? Where? So be'eza mehem. Which of the two heads should you put on tefillin? So Amarle, O kum gale, O kibel alach shamta. So annoyed, so infuriated by the question, he said, either go into galus, or I'm going to put you in cherem. Which, by the way, is really the same thing. Meaning, when you're placed in cherem, you're basically excommunicated, you're exiled. So either you do it, or I'll do it. Now, adahachi aso wagavra. Now, while he responded and with anger to the question that was posed to him, somebody comes in, Amalei Isyadli Yenuka Diyislei Trei Reisha, and he says, I have a baby that was born with two heads. And it's funny, by the way, because, in other words, sometimes I lose a lot of the tone of the Gemara, meaning the question was asked from a point of seriousness, or the question was asked jokingly, and that's why he told them to get excommunicated, right? You lose a lot of the tone of the Gemara, and you don't know why he got so angry, because the question was asked in a joking manner, or it was just, the question was so absurd, right? It's unclear. So, but meanwhile, he says, I had a baby born with two heads. So, come and be in the Mace of the Cohen. And my question now is a simple question. Meaning, it's one baby, and it's five shkalim per baby, but it's not five shkalim per baby when you give to the Cohen, when you do the mitzvah of pidyon haben, it's five per skull. So I have one baby with two skulls.
Yeah, have you said which one is the Bechor, though? If it's for the Bechor.
You only have one
Bechor. It's one baby.
You only have one Bechor.
It's one per. But you're counting as two, though. You're giving money for two.
Right? It's Chamesh Lagugolas. All right, look, I'm just... Also, Saba Tana Lechayv Liten Lo Yud Salaim. Now, an elderly person comes into the base magic and he says, 10. 2 times 5. Ini vatani rami barchamim mitoch shenam ha-patot if that's the Bechor ha-adam. Shamei ni afil nitra pesoch lamed. Now, what if the baby dies within 30 days? Tamud Lamar Ach Chalak. The word Ach divides. So, and it tells us that sometimes you give the coin, sometimes you don't give the coin. If the baby is not going to sustain, if the baby is not going to live past 30 days, you do not give to the coin. So here as well, the Gemara is assuming is that a baby born with two heads is an unsustainable baby. So the Gemara says, I don't understand. Why would there be any mitzvah to give to the Kohen? So the Gemara says, Shani Hacha Debagogolos Talarachmana. No, because over here it's per skull. And since there's two skulls, so therefore it is per skull. Okay. That obviously is a tangent to our discussion. I don't know. That is a good question. I don't know.
And also what happened to tefillin.
Okay. Amar Mar, Yadcha Zuki Baris. Me Nalan, how do I know this? The Tanur Rabbanan. Ayadchu Zugova Shabiyad. Higher part of the arm. Ata Omer Zugova Shabiyad. How do I know Allah? Yadcha Mamish. Maybe it's your hand. Amar Torah Hanach Tfillin. The relationship between the Shal Rosh and the Shal Yad. The Shal Rosh goes towards the top. The Shal Yad has to also go towards the top. Rabbi Elazar Omer Eino Tzarech Harei Omer Vayelach Halaos Lechalaos Velo Laachirim Laos. The Tefillin Shal Yad shall be a personal oath to you. Right, we talked about this earlier. The Shal Rosh is broadcasted to the community at large. That's Kishem Hashem Akrai Lecha. The Shal Yad is your own personal oath. Rav Yitzchak Omer Eino Tzarech Harei Omer V'samtem Esrei Ela Alav Avchem Ukshartem Sheteisima Keneged Alev. The Tefillin Shal Yad should correspond to the heart. So it should be proximate to the heart. If you have the Tefillin Shal Yad on your hand, when your hand is lowered, it's not proximate to the heart. So you put it on your arm, the upper portion of your arm, so that it's connected to the heart. Rabbi Chiya v'Rav Acha v'Rav Avya mechaver menachle lahade liba. They would put it right opposite their heart. Rav Ashi Avi Yosef kamei d'ameimar havetzricha biyadei v'kamis chazin tefillin. Amar lei, he had a little tear in his shirt and he was able to see the tefillin. Amar lei lo sevel amar lecha laos v'lo lachem laos. What are you doing? You're showing off your tefillin shal yad. You can't show off the tefillin shal yad. Amar lei b'makom lecha laos itmar. No, that's just talking about where to put it. But if the tefillin shal yad is exposed, that's not a problem. Gova shebirosh minalan t'tanu rabbanan b'nei nechaz u'gova shebirosh. Now we're going to conclude this morning with placing it on the head. Ata omer u'gova shebirosh o'eino ela b'nei necha mamish. Maybe it means between your eyes, literally. Nemar kam b'yadei necha v'nemar lahan lo sasimu karcha b'nei necham lameis. You know that when the Torah tells us that when someone dies, a family member dies, so you can't cut into your skin, you can't tear out your hair. Certain minhage avelos, which was apparently very prominent, bizman hachumish, you can't do. It's usher to do. One of the things you can't do is you can't pull the hair out. The Torah says, lo sasimu karcha bein einechem lameis, between your eyes. It does not mean literally between your eyes. It means the part of your head that's between your eyes. So malahalam begovah shabarosh, makum sha'oseh karcha, avkam begovah shabarosh, makum sha'oseh karcha. Okay, so that's how we know that the tefillin are placed on the area of your head where there is or was hair. Between your eyes, that's not an area of hair. Yeah, you have eyebrows, and you know there are some people have thick eyebrows, but that's not kereach. That's not baldness. Baldness refers specifically to the top of your head. Rabbi Yehuda Omer Eino Tzarech Amar Torah Hanach Tefillin Biyad Hanach Tefillin Berosh Malahalam B'Makom Haror Litamei Benega Echad Avkan B'Makom Haror Litamei Benega Echad. A place where there's only one type of tzaras, which is the top of your head. La'afuke Bein Einecha. However, between your eyes, subject to two different types of tzaras. Ika Basar Viseyar. There on the front of your face, you could have tzaras of basar, you could have tzaras of ser, subject to two different types of tzaras. Dika ser lavan v'ika nami ser tzahov. You have white hair, which is flesh tzaras, or you can have yellow hair, which is hair tzaras. That could happen on your face, on the top of your head, however. You're only subject to one type of tzaras, not flesh tzaras, but only hair tzaras. So the Gemara says that's how we know that the bein einecha on the top of your head is for tefillin is referring to the top of your head. Okay, so a number of sources in terms of why tefillin should be on the on the bicep and not in your hand. A number of sources in terms of why tefillin should be on the top of your head and not beinenecha, not literally between your eyes. Okay, placement of tefillin, by the way, is extraordinarily important. The Mishnah Berurah says that if you don't put the tefillin in the right spot, it's kemunach bekufsa. It's like still in the box. So, placement of the tefillin on the right spot on both on the arm and the head is extraordinarily important. Okay, good. Stop over here. This is not only a good place to stop, but it brings us back up to speed. Tomorrow, we're going to meet an hour before Mincha. I don't know what time Mincha is. Mincha is at 6:30. Yeah? Okay, that was a great guess. So Daf tomorrow will be at 5:30. Tomorrow we start with Tzitzis.
If Mincha is later, it's going to be an hour later, or is it later, or is it going to be 5:30 stop?
5:30. We're going to say 5:30. And, okay, and we'll take it from there. Yantov schedule will come out. I don't have a Yantov schedule as of yet.